with your foot. That ground was so rich that that kernel of corn would sprout and run up your britches legs before you get away from there. So we had to plant it on the run. And then when it grew up tall, ready to pick, well, it was pretty tall. It was tall enough that the moon had to detour by the way of Georgia every night to get over. It wasn't very tall at that, but she had a cow fill in a well down there one day, best milk cow they had in Osceola County. So we went down there to see about it, and they didn't know what we was going to do about the cow in the well. Nobody could get it out. In those days, we didn't have wreckers or anything down there to pull them out with. There was an old abandoned well down there in the field. We went down there, and sure enough, cow's in the well, so I told them I didn't think that wouldn't be no trouble to get that cow out of the well. So I went to the house and got a ladder and I come down the well where the cow was, and I started milking. Well, I milked that old cow, kept right on milking her, and you know I floated her right out of that well. There was no trouble to it at all. So I told you that you can always do something if you know what you're doing. And as a general rule, I didn't know. So we had a lot of ups and downs as usual. And one day, well, in those days, we were 17 miles from the nearest town, and there was no running water or plumbing or anything in the houses down there. They was all just plain houses. So my dad thought it would be a great thing if we could have a bathroom in our house. That's something nobody in that neighborhood down there had. So he sent the Sears and Roebuck. A long time ago, when the nearest Sears and Roebuck catalog was in Atlanta, Georgia, and bought the equipment for a bathroom and had it sent out there. But when it came, he built a little building out there to put it in. And that was wonderful, you know. Nobody down there had anything like that, and everybody come to see it. We finally got it all installed. Had a place there where you could wash your hands and face, and you pull a stopper out and the water just run on out. We didn't have to tote the water in or out. Because on those days, if we took a bath, we had to get behind the wash stove in a number 3 wash tub and take a bath and then have to carry that out. But anyhow, in the wash, we didn't have to tote that water out. Then they had a place where you could take a bath all over if you wanted to. And when you got through, just pull the stopper out, water ran right on out, see? Nothing to it. Well, we liked that. Then they had a place there where you wash your feet. And, of course, when you got through, you just turned the knob and the water went on out. You didn't have to tote the water out. But there was 2 pieces of that equipment that nobody knew where it went. Everybody come, we would ask them, where does that go? Nobody knew. Well, it went on for quite a time, and we decided, well, we just couldn't use it in there. So my mother was very conservative, and she never threw anything away. So she made a breadboard out of one of them and framed Grandpa's picture in the other. So we saved it all. That was, we had a lot of fun, though. We could hunt and fish. And one day I was fishing down at the Kissimmee River. That's way down there, down the state. It's a beautiful place down there with trees overlapping the river bank. And you could sit there and have your feet hang down and fish, all just enjoy nature out there. One day I was sitting there fishing, and I heard an awful commotion over in the bushes there, and I went over to see about it, and it was a snake had caught a bullfrog. That old Marcuson caught that bullfrog, and that bullfrog was croaking and hollering trying to get loose. Well, I knew that snake had to have his dinner, but I thought I'd have some fun with him, so I went over to a willow tree and cut off a branch about that long with a forked end on it. I trimmed it off. And I walked over there where that snake was, and I pushed that forked stick right down over that snake's neck, right back of his head, and held him down. And I pulled out that frog and let him go. Well, that frog left there. He left there in about 2 directions at the same time. He's leaving there. But while I had him holding him down there, I reached in my pocket and got a bottle of white lightning, old moonshine. And I give that snake a good drink of moonshine. Poured his mouth plumb full, and then I turned him loose. And I went on, sat down, went to fishing, forgot about it. And that's while I felt something tap me on the back, and I turned around and looked. And there was that darn fool snake with another toad in his mouth. But the best way to fish, now this is a unique way, maybe I shouldn't tell it, but at that time it wasn't against the law. Now if you go fishing, it's against the law to take this pole. You've got to have a right colored pole, the moon's got to be right. If the boat's three quarters of an inch too short, that won't do. If you catch a trout or any kind of fish now and he's not on the limit, you've got to throw him back. And used to you catch all you wanted to. So I went down to that same place on the Kissimmee River there. It was at that time it was very isolated, and very few people ever got down there to fish. The Indians was quite numerous down there. So the way now, you may not believe this, if it wasn't the truth, I wouldn't told it. They used to get a lizard. They had a certain type of lizard that lived under logs and dead trees and stuff like that. It's a special little blue lizard. And trout love them above all things. So you take the lizard, I'd cut a little slit in the lizard's tail and put a long, strong string to it. And I'd throw it out in the river, and then I'd tie the other end of the string to a tree. And I'd go down, lay down, take a nap. What would happen? These trout love them lizards with a passion. So this old trout would run there and swallow that, grab that lizard and swallow him, thought he had a good meal. But what he didn't know, that lizard didn't stop. He crawled on out. And another trout saw him, and he'd swallow him. Well, the same thing would happen. And within a half an hour, I'd wake up and go back there and pull in a whole string of fish already strung up. That wasn't truth, I wasn't told it. One time there was a man and his wife decided to homestead a little piece of ground in the Everglades, just on the edge of the Everglades on the Kissimmee Prairie. They were poor folks like us, and they wanted to start a little ranch, so they decided to homestead a little piece of land out on the Kissimmee Prairie and start building a ranch. Well, they started. That was way back yonder. A lot of Indians down there too then. They weren't tame. They started their little ranch. They were doing pretty good until finally the lady got pregnant. Well, there was no hospitals or no friends, no neighbors, or there was nothing out there. So she knew when it come time for the baby to arrive that she would have to have help and go somewhere. Where? She didn't know. They was about 40 miles northwest of Miami, up on the Kissimmee Prairie there. So she decided, well, she would have to go to get help. So when the time comes, she was going to go to a friend of theirs that lived not too far from Miami. Miami them days was a little fishing village. That's about all it was. So, when the time come to go, she saw she had to leave and go for help. She saddled up the old mare, her old horse. By the way, the horse is pregnant too. So they started out, and it was about a 40-mile trip across that prairie there, and that was a full day's ride with a good horse. So they stuck out. And about halfway there, the Indians got after them. The Indians was wild then. So that horse tore out. He was running for his life, and that woman was holding on there, and her hair was flying in the breeze, and they were going. They were leaving him. Them Indians right after him. Well, during the race and the excitement, that horse had to give birth to the colt. Now, there was no waiting. So the horse just stopped right there to give birth to the colt, and the woman found out her time was there too, and it all happened at one time miraculously, and the Indians were still closing in. So when it was over with, the horse jumped up and the woman jumped on his back, and here they went. Well, that colt jumped up and that baby jumped on his back, and here they went right after him. And you know, we beat them. We beat them. And, well, things like that happen all over the world, I guess. There's always something to talk about. We didn't have too much to talk about because we didn't know much. But living in the country, that it's got its advantages because you can always find, you always have something to eat. We had plenty to eat, whether we had anything to wear or not. And my sister had a farm down there that I told you about a while ago. And I had one next door, next to it. And I raised popcorn down there. Popcorn is my chief crop. And it was awful hot down there in the summertime when the corn was ripe. So I had to take my popcorn to town in a two-horse wagon pulled by two big Kentucky mules. And I'd have to carry my popcorn to town at night because the sun is so hot in the daytime, I'm afraid that popcorn would blow up. Well, one day I got a little tight and, you know, I didn't get a right start and I left too late. Well, the sun come up and caught me on the way to town and I had a hangover. And the mules was walking along, and I wasn't running right then. I wasn't much giving a darn what happened. And about midday, that sun was so hot, that whole wagon load of popcorn just blew up. Right there in the middle of the road. Well, to top it all off, them two mules turned around and saw it, and they thought it was snow, and both of them froze to death right there. That old rooster at the farm had a rooster on the farm. That was the laziest rooster I ever seen in my life. He was actually so lazy, so when the neighbor's rooster would crow in the morning, he'd just nod his head and say, amen. Everybody was lazy but me. I worked on that farm for 10 years and slaved my life away. And you know, when I left there, all I had in this world was a bow-legged woman, a peg-legged rooster, and a one-eyed dog. It wasn't worth it. Well, that's the way it is when you have to take a chance on things. I was down there at my sister's farm one time and down to Blue Kissimmee there on that. She had a nice little place and it come up a thunderstorm. Well, we had a thunderstorm there that you could tell your grandchildren about. That was a terrible storm. It rained and it blowed and it thundered and it just tore up trees one stuff another. You know, old days, people didn't have washing machines. They had an old cast iron wash pot out in the backyard and they built a fire under it and put your clothes in there and boiled them a while. Then they took them out and beat the devil out of them with a stick, what they call a battling stick. Well, my sister had one of them old cast iron pots out there. And the wind blew that pot out of her yard so fast over the fence. That pot left there so fast that the lightning struck at it three times and missed it all three times. So, things like that, you remember, people won't believe that you saw all them. But actually, things like that stick in your mind. And It's a wonderful thing. Actually, though, it's wonderful to live back there. I lived sort of like Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn on the lake. I can remember steamboats going up and down the lake to Hokkalaga, clean on down to the Kissimmee River, believe it or not. There was two of them there. One of them was owned by Captain Johnson, and the steamboat's name was the Lily, and Cal Buckles owned one. His name was Lucy, and that name was Lucy B. And it was a great thrill to be down there fishing and see them old steamboats puffing up and down there pushing a barge. But now you don't see nothing out there anymore but the modern boat. And there's so many of them running up and down there fishing, that lake sounds like a beehive sometimes. My sister had bees down there one time, and she supplied quite a bit of honey for the whole state of Florida. She had a special honey, and then in the spring when the orange blossoms would bloom, she would had a lot of orange blossom honey, and that was a great demand for that. So the demand was more than the supply. She had all the bees that she knew what to do with, and so she didn't know just how to get any more honey. So one day she thought up of an idea, and it worked. You know what she did? She crossed her bees with lightning bugs, and they could work 24 hours a day. So, well, folks, be it far from me to tell a story, a lie that is, I'm going to have to quit now and behave myself, because I noticed my wife's right back there. She got my eye on me, and I could have lied without being caught.
Can you think of one more?
Ma'am?
Can you think of another one? I know you've got another one. It has to be a little bit of truth in it.
There was a man listening to his television, and a preacher was on the television. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if you listen to the right preacher. Anyhow, the preacher, he was sort of long-winded talking, and towards the last he says, if you'll send me $25, just send me $25 right away, and within 24 hours, you will have a miracle. And this friend of mine said, well, I'll try that. So he sent him $25. And that night, he got up to go to the bathroom. And when he took a hold of the door, the light come on. He says, there's that miracle. There's that miracle. There's that miracle. I didn't have to even turn the light on. He went back to the bed and said, Mary, that miracle just happened. She said, what? She said, I went in there to use the bathroom and the light come on without me even touching the switch. She said, oh my God, Henry, you wet in the refrigerator. So I'm going to let somebody else take over now, because I'm going plumb dry of jokes. And not many more to know. I did remember one time when I was working on my sister's farm. I saw a rattlesnake out in the potato patch. I was hoeing potatoes. And that was the biggest rattlesnake I ever saw in my life. Well, I didn't have nothing in my hand but a hoe. And that's what I had to kill him with. So I started hoeing away at that snake. He started fighting back, and we had a battle royal out there. That was a big snake, and he fought hard. I was framming away with him at this hole, and he was biting at it. And in the fracas there, he bit that hoe handle. He didn't bite me, thank the Lord, but he did bite the hoe handle before I got him killed. And after I got him killed, I look over there, and that hoe handle began swelling, and it swelled up big as a log. So I went and got me a log cart, and I carried it to the sawmill, had it sawed up into lumber, and I brought that home and built me a mule shed. And I put my mule in it and went to bed. It was getting late. Thought I'd done pretty good. Next morning when I got it, went out there, that there swelling had gone out of that lumber, and it shrunk my mule plumb to death. We thank you people so much.
You're welcome. Rick Tillett from Jacksonville, and this is his first year over here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I noticed the sheriff wasn't here, so I come in.